Austin 316 says I just whipped your... Sit there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said, shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What?
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week is episode 128, The Hangover, and we are covering May of 2003. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV, as always. JV, how you doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Good, good. We're here on a Friday night recording this, and getting this out for Saturday, and... Man, we're back. We're back to Stone Cold. We took a week off last week. We did the Hollywood Blondes, and well-received. I took a look at the numbers. It's like, oh, shit, this is probably one of our best Hollywood Blondes episodes that attracted people. Probably because it was Flair for the Gold, Flair for the Old. You know, I think that maybe attracted some people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, good episode. So that was fun last week, but now
we got clickbait from the episode title.
Yeah, I think so.
That's hilarious.
I think it was Flair, you know, yeah. Flair and all his drama helped us out. Yeah, so that was great. And now we're back, though. We're back to covering Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he's the co-GM of Raw at this point in May of 2003. Our last Stone Cold episode was episode 127, where Stone Cold was in Redneck Heaven with Eric Bischoff. So that's where we left off, and that was at Judgment Day of 03. And Stone Cold, his whole mission was to just fuck up Eric Bischoff. And that's exactly what happened. So that's where we left off. So we're going to continue on this story of Stone Cold as the GM throughout May of 2003. On this episode, we'll be covering two Raws. And I think that's what we're going to be doing going forward with Stone Cold as GM, right, JV? You wanted to do...
Yeah, I think we're cut it down to two Raws. A little bit shorter. But yeah, it's just tough.
Yeah. So with that said, though, I did map out, based on this this new format we're going to do, where it's just the two Raws, I mapped out the rest of the whole show today. I had some time, and I did that. And so this is episode 128. And I mapped out up to episode 152. So, a bunch more episodes to go.
You mapped out to 152?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, it's gonna get crazy. You know, it's that time of year. Holidays are coming. You're good, Prue. Good at being proactive.
So yeah, I got that all out, and yeah, we go through the rest of 2003. Just to give you kind of like a heads up of where we're going. We finish up 2003. Stone Cold takes a break after Survivor Series 03. It's Team Austin versus Team Bischoff at Survivor Series. And I won't spoil anything, but Austin takes a break after that. And he's gone for a month, and then he comes back, and then he's the Sheriff. So we'll be covering Sheriff Austin heading into 2004. And that's only for a few months, because that goes only until WrestleMania 20, when the referee during Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg.
Huh.
And then from there, that's what starts our final episodes, which will be starting with episode 147. We're going to cover Stone Cold in 2005. So this will be like his special appearances and shit. So it'll be 2005, he appears at WrestleMania 21. We got ECW One Last Stand and so forth. Then episode 148, Stone Cold 2006 to 2007. And then we're gonna do a special episode, JV. We're gonna cover the Condemned movie.
All right, sweet.
Because that movie comes out at that point. So
I gotta watch it.
So we'll watch it. We'll either review it or just watch it and talk about it while it's on.
Yeah, we could do. How long is it? If it's like 2 hours,
it's probably like an hour and a half. I'm not even.
Oh yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, like it's the Godfather. So right. What's it, like 3 hours? It's a fucking Condemned with Stone Cold. Right. It's probably 90 minutes.
And I've never fucking watched it.
So. A watch along would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And then episode 149 is Stone Cold 2007 to 2008. And then episode 150 is just Stone Cold's Hall of Fame. That's an episode just for his Hall of Fame induction. Then episode 151 is everything from 2010 up to now. So it's all mapped out, man. So it's like March of next year, I think, will be wrapped up. But who knows? We always like throw in additional episodes here and there. So it'll probably be like the summer of next
year. It's
like
the lamb chops song.
Yeah.
Of the podcast.
Lamb chops. Sing along.
No, this is,
no, this is a song. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the podcast that doesn't end. It goes on and on, my friend. Some people started listening, not knowing what it was. They'll continue listening. Okay, I'll stop. All right.
Yeah, now anyway, it's stuck in everybody's head for the next fucking
two. Yeah, they'll keep fucking singing it forever. Just because this is the song that... Okay, there we go. All right, so let's get this show on the road anyway. But before we do that, follow us on Twitter at BottomLineCast and follow me, Mike Prue, at MPRU83. MPRU83. Follow JV at John Van Damage. That's with an H. Don't forget the H. Alpha John with an H. I haven't said that in a while, so I have to throw that in there. Also, when you get a chance, please. Give us a 5-star review if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts. That'd be greatly appreciated. It will help put the show out for more people that haven't yet experienced the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. As we've been covering the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin for the past 3 years. 3 years! 3 years of content. Please give us a review if you've been enjoying it so other people can get on board with this Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. And also, one more thing before we get started. Special shout out. We shout them out every single week. They are the best. They are our brother podcast. Talking Taker, Alex Dorio, and Travis White. They sent us a gift. And I posted it on Twitter. And I didn't mention it on last week's episode because it was the Hollywood Blondes. So it didn't fit. So, but we greatly appreciate the gift that they sent us. And it was two copy, one for me, one for JV. It was artwork from WWE. I'm not sure of the artist. I don't remember at the time. But it was artwork of Austin's final match heading to the ring against The Rock at WrestleMania.
It looks so awesome, too.
So Alex and Travis, they sent us that in commemoration of us reaching Austin's final match. And we greatly appreciate it. It's awesome. I can't wait to get it framed and put up somewhere in this den that's starting to get filled with shit. And now thinking of that, I still need to put Earl Hebner up. I still haven't put Earl Hebner up. I'm afraid to scare my kids with Earl Hebner being up in the room. But
what is that? He's asking you questions. Yeah. You got to explain it.
It's like, oh, that's my friend. Do you know him? So yeah. So thank you, Alex. Thank you, Travis. Thank you for all your support over all these years. You guys are the best. And we'll talk more about them later in the show because they have a brand new episode out that we'll plug at the end of the show. So thank you again. Good shit. And JV, I haven't brought it to you yet, but it's nice and safe. I'll get it to you.
I know. We'll see each other. At least like fucking 2 minutes away.
Right. That's the funny thing is we live so close, but it's like, oh, yeah. I could just easily bring it to you, but if... The fuck.
Yeah, or I could just go get it. I'm like, all right. I'm even closer to your house when I go to Jess's parents.
Yeah. It was funny. It was when my mom lived just down the street. Like, I saw her less when I lived near her.
That's funny.
But anyway, all right. So let's get into it. It's The Hangover, May 2003. I'm gonna start things off with Raw from episode 521. From May 19, 2003. This episode's live. It's from Greenville, South Carolina. If you're going to check it out on the Peacock, it's season 11, episode 20. And we're going to get right into it right away with a promo. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin opening up the show. Take a listen, and we'll be right back.
Exactly the right decision.
Well, not if you're Eric Bischoff, though, JR.
Once again, it's good to be here tonight. Got a lot of things I want to talk about, get off my mind, get off my chest. And one of the things I want to talk about is last night at Judgment Day, because I had a hell of a time. I drank a lot of beer, ate a lot of food, and saw some damn good matches. Unfortunately, on the downside of that, I did have to share my skybox with one Eric Bischoff, and that sucked. And Eric Bischoff, he ate a lot of food. He drank a lot of beer. And he proceeded to do what he always seems to do when he puts himself in a situation. He made a complete jackass out of himself. And actually, I think we've actually got some action footage of Eric Bischoff last night at Judgment Day. So if they could roll that footage for me, please. Let's see Eric Bischoff.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I think you're one sorry, sorry son bitch. What did you got to say about that?
Give that to me again. Give it slow motion. Can you back that up in reverse slow-mo? Back it up. I want to see it again. So basically what I'm saying is you ain't going to see a whole lot of Eric Bischoff tonight because the sumbitch got a hangover.
One more time, Steve.
But what you will see tonight, since I am the hardest working redneck in show business, is the fact that we're going to move on to the future. We're going to talk about June, and we're going to talk about next month's pay-per-view. And get this, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin presents Bad Blood. Whoa. And if my name is on this thing, satisfaction guaranteed. And give me this camera right now. And look at this, and everybody can listen to me, they can understand this. Trust in me, and I will never let you down.
Trust. I'll tell you what, satisfaction guaranteed.
Now,
according to Austin.
As my investigation continues with the Goldberg deal, there's a situation going on here where someone has tried to run over Goldberg with an automobile. And if anybody knows about getting hit with an automobile, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. So to bring everybody up to speed with this, give me some more footage up there on that damn Tritontron.
I just got here in Philly, man. I got the show.
All right, being Stone Cold Steve Austin, being a man of action, doing what I say, with the investigation continuing, I will find out tonight who tried to run over Goldberg with that car. And when I find out who that sumbitch was, I will place his carcass in this ring in a match against Goldberg in Greenville, South Carolina.
Tonight? Wow. Tonight.
You're damn right.
Is that a rush to justice?
And speaking of matches, allow me to introduce to you the current world champion, Triple H.
Well, the current world champion, Triple H, kid, he's got to be, if he can, is mobile.
All right, so we're coming right off of Judgment Day, and Austin is out there, and he comes out. He says he's happy to be here, and he has a lot of things to get off his mind. Austin says he had a damn good time at Judgment Day. He had some great beer, great food, and he saw some damn good matches. And Austin says, you know, it sucked having to share the skybox, which he also called Redneck Heaven, with Eric Bischoff. And Austin says that Eric made a complete jackass of himself because of all the food and the drinks that he had. And then there's a great sign, perfect sign in the audience. Hangover 316, which was the inspiration for the name of this episode. Hangover 316. So the crowd's taking a liking to Eric Bischoff getting the Stone Cold treatment and having some hangover on this episode. So good sign there. Then Austin cuts to some footage of Bischoff puking all over the crowd, and then it plays, and it plays again, and it plays again. I'm like, oh, all right, can you stop? We don't need to see the spew or whatever the fuck it was, because it obviously wasn't puke because Eric Bischoff wasn't fucking drunk.
Yeah, but shit. It still looks shit.
But it's gross, right? Yeah. We don't need to see it over and over again. So Austin says he won't be seeing a lot of Bischoff tonight because that son of a bitch has a hangover. And so Austin calls himself the hardest working redneck in show business. He says they're moving on to June now, like he's fucking Bill Belichick. We're moving on to June. We're done with it, man. We're moving on to June, and it's going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin presents Bad Blood. So Austin says he's going to guarantee satisfaction because his name is associated with Bad Blood. Then Austin speaks directly to the camera. I love this. But I'll explain in a second, but it's kind of like, eh. All right, anyway. He says, trust in me, and I will never let you down. It's like, all right, great, cool. You're gonna satisfy us, but aren't you the guy that says don't trust anybody?
Yeah, good
so, point. So why are you saying trust in me, and I'll never let you down?
Maybe there's irony.
Yeah, I guess. Now, what's funny, like, Stone Cold has the don't trust me, and he's the rattlesnake. Jake the Snake, his catchphrase towards the end of his run in WWF in like 91, 92, when he was a heel. 91, before The Undertaker turned on him and Undertaker became babyface and whatever. So anyway, he would say, trust me, trust me. I just think that's funny because he's the snake and he's saying, trust me.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
Right. Exactly. But then you have the rattlesnake. He's telling everybody, don't trust anybody. I guess he knows because he's a snake then, right? I'm a snake, yeah. So yeah.
That's what a snake does.
Right. Yeah, so that's another bond between Stone Cold and Jake, is the whole trust me, and the trust issue. Yeah, I don't know why I'm breaking it down like I'm fucking some psychiatrist.
I know. Anyway. You're thinking it. It's fucking wrestling.
Yeah, I'm fucking like Dr. Melfi in The Sopranos right now. Anyway.
No, it was bad writing, dude. Yeah. That's all it was.
All right, so anyway, Austin says his investigation into who tried to hit Bill Goldberg with a car is going to continue tonight. So Austin points out how he knows a thing or two about being hit by an automobile. Because he was hit by one before. So that's a nice callback. That goes back to Survivor Series 99. When he got hit. For the people. For The Rock. By Rikishi. / Triple H. Whoever the fuck.
I like how they, yeah. Like they recalled that.
Yeah. Because that's exactly what they were going for. It was the same storyline. Like, alright, let's go on a mission. It's really the same thing that Stone Cold already did. Like, alright, let me investigate people and figure out who it was. So Austin plays some footage, and it's a white limo. The white limo smashes into Goldberg's door. Austin says he's going to find out who did it, and tonight he will place that person in a match against Goldberg. And Austin says, you know, speaking of matches, allow me to introduce you to the current world's champion, Triple H. So then we have Triple H gingerly head down to the ring, and he's heading down to the ring with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And now, let's take a listen to what happens down there in the ring with Stone Cold and Triple H. This is going to be a long one, guys. So buckle up, but it's good. Take a listen, and we'll be back in like 7 minutes.
Was unable to do.
Stop it right there. Shut the music down. Shut it down.
Wait a minute.
Shut the stupid music down.
Champion's entrance.
I ain't got time to watch you spray that stupid ass water all over the crowd. You ain't gonna spit your water, and you're not gonna strut around like some kind of hot shot. We got business to talk about, so you might as well spit the water on the floor, come in the ring. We got things we got to talk about.
You can't talk to the world champion like
and
that.
And I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. And let me go on to further say, I right now am trying extremely hard to maintain my composure.
Uh-oh. That's not a good sign. This crowd, they want the Rattlesnake to lose his composure.
And you know what? You could do me another favor. You could take those rotten sunglasses off so I can look at your little beady eyes. Thank you.
Oh.
Don't get too close. I said, I'm trying to maintain my composure, but I can't make no promises. What did you do last night? What did you do? Maybe you can't hear me. There's a speaker right there. What did you do? I'll tell you what you did. You got your ass whipped. Kevin Nash pounded your ass all over that building. You should not have that heavyweight championship on your shoulder. But you do. But you shouldn't. But you do. And you know what you did to keep that title on your shoulder? Look at me in the eyes when I say this. You picked up a sledgehammer and you hit senior official Earl Hebner in the chest with that sledgehammer. Does that make you proud? You feel powerful? You're some kind of bully? You had to do that to save your ass? I can appreciate that, maybe. But I can also appreciate the fact that you, Triple H, will wrestle tonight.
Oh, man. Wait a minute. Not after last night.
Oh, man.
Not after that beat. Well, not after that match last night.
See, Austin, a lot of people think that you're just a drunk.
Oh. There's more?
I think you're just drunk with power. But let me catch you up to speed in case you missed part of the show last night while you were upstairs beating Eric Bischoff's liver into oblivion. Yes, Kevin Nash kicked my ass. But the fact remains, I am still the world heavyweight champion.
That's true.
Now, what that means is, that means around here, I got some stroke too. You see, and tonight, I'm beat up. You were saying? I was saying, tonight I am beat up. I am tired and I am not in the mood for any of your crap.
No.
So it goes like this. I'm not gonna wrestle tonight.
And that's final.
Wipe that stupid smile off your face. Yes, you will wrestle tonight. But because you see the sympathy on my face, the compassion emanating from my pores,
emanating.
Because I feel your pain, I'm going to allow you, Triple H, to pick your own opponent tonight. You can pick your own opponent tonight as long as that opponent is a former world champion.
What?
So that means your options are Kane, Shawn Michaels,
oh, no.
Jericho,
oh.
Or Kevin Nash.
Oh, who's he gonna choose?
Man, pick your poison.
Has he got to wrestle?
It's a nightmare for the champion. A nightmare for Triple H.
This is not right. He's in no condition to wrestle, much less
to get this straight.
A former champ.
Get this straight here. You want me to pick my own opponent?
Did I stutter?
As long as he's a former world heavyweight champion. You know, Austin, you should... You know, Steve, what you should do is you...
What's wrong?
All right, okay, all right. You're on. You're on. I'll wrestle tonight, and I'll wrestle a former world heavyweight champion. Matter of fact, I'll wrestle the greatest former world heavyweight champion of all time.
Uh-oh.
I'll wrestle my good buddy, Ric Flair.
What? What the hell?
Oh, yeah. Austin, and since you gave me the authority... That's the bottom line, because the game said so.
Wow. Oh, my God, I can't believe that, kid. What do you mean you can't believe that the Rattlesnake got outsmarted by the game?
I can't believe that Triple H is going to wrestle Ric Flair here tonight live for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Yeah, but look, that's not set too well with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He knows he got outsnookered.
Well, this... Flair is totally confused.
All right, so Triple H gets to the ring apron, and he's going to make his usual entrance. You know, he's doing his thing. He's getting on there. He's about to drink his water, spit it out. But Austin puts a stop to it right away. Stop it. Stop it right there. Shut the music down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut the stupid music off. And I'm thinking immediately, and this might be obscure to some people, but it's like John Taffer from Bar Rescue. You ever watch Bar Rescue, Jamie?
Yeah, of course. I like that show. Or used to. It got old. Pretty of itself.
Right. But that's his go-to line. Shut it down! Shut it down!
You mean you tell me you what room temperature chicken looks like? This is terrible! Shut this place down!
Shut it down! And Noah, we're going to get you a new POS system! A new POS system!
When I come back, you better have yourself figured out. You want to do this? You want me to help you?
So Stone Cold's doing his best John Taffer there. And Austin tells a stunned Triple H, who Triple H is like, what the fuck, man? Let me do my entrance. Austin says to Triple H, I ain't got time for you to spray that stupid ass water all over the crowd. I love that. Stupid ass water. You ain't gonna spit your water. You ain't gonna strut around like some hotshot. We got business to get to. You might as well spit the water on the floor and get in the ring. We got business to talk about. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. And let me further say, I am trying extremely hard to maintain my composure. Austin's new thing there. That's his new go-to as the GM. Is that he's trying to maintain his composure. And with that said, I'm going to use that in my line of work soon. Definitely going to. Definitely using that. Or I can just use it as a parent.
Yeah, test the test, see how it goes.
Yeah, no, they won't give a fuck.
You're going to use it in front of other adults at school? Or
No, just kids. No. Imagine that with adults. They think I'm nuts. So anyway, Austin tells Triple H to take his rotten sunglasses off so I can look at your little beady eyes. And I love how Austin just says thank you right before Triple H even complies to what Austin's requesting. That's badass. Like just saying, do this and saying thank you right away. Why don't you shut your mouth? Thank you.
Like, you don't even get them a chance to rebuttal.
Right. No, just thank you means fucking bottom line, you're doing it. Oh, badass move. Triple H gets right up in Austin's face, though. Then Austin reminds Triple H that he's trying very hard to keep his composure again. But he can't make any promises and that Triple H should back away. And Austin asks Triple H what happened last night. And then he tells him, I'll tell you what you did. You got your ass whipped. Kevin Nash pounded your ass all over that building. You should not have that heavyweight championship shoulder... The heavyweight championship belt over your shoulder, but you do. but you shouldn't. And Austin says that he only has that title because Triple H nailed Earl Hebner in the chest with a sledgehammer. Always with the sledgehammer. And he goes, does that make you proud? You know how Austin does it. Does that make you proud? And it makes me proud, JV. It makes me proud because, fuck, yeah. Triple H fucking nailed Earl Hebner with that damn sledgehammer. Hell yeah. I mean, if there wasn't any other hell yeah moments on this episode, that would be one. Fucking Earl Hebner getting fucking hit with the sledgehammer. So anyway, for those bullying tactics and antics by Triple H at Judgment Day, Austin says that Triple H is going to defend that title tonight. And Triple H finally speaks. And this is probably why the promo is so fucking long, is because Triple H has to speak. So Triple H speaks. He goes, see, Austin, a lot of people think you're drunk. I just think you're drunk with power. I mean, things have changed in the WWE recently with Triple H, but for a long time, you know,
he was the drunkest with power.
Right, he was the drunkest with power. But things have changed, and Vince just took that bottle from Triple H and downed it. Like, I'm back. I'm drunk with power. All right, Triple H finally, like I said, he goes on. He says he's still the champion, which means he has a lot of stroke. He has a lot of stroke, too, right now. Triple H says that he's beat up. He got beat up by Kevin Nash, and he's not defending the title tonight. And he pulls out this Arn Anderson line. So it goes like this. I'm not wrestling tonight. And then Flair's smiling on the side. So Austin notices. Austin tells him, wipe that stupid smile off your face. And then turns back to Triple H. And yes, you will wrestle tonight. But because you see this sympathy and compassion coming out of my face, and that I feel your pain, because I understand, I'm going to allow you to pick your opponent tonight, as long as the opponent is a former world champion. So that means your options are Kane, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, or Kevin Nash, all former active WWF world champions. Cool. I like that. Cool stipulation. So, Triple H repeats what Austin just said. Austin says, did I stutter? Like he's from, you know, the Breakfast Club. Like the principal, right? Didn't he say that? Yeah. Did I stutter? So, Triple H begins to say, you know, Austin, you should. He pauses. Okay. All right, he thinks about it. Okay, you're on. I'll wrestle a former world champion. In fact, I'll wrestle the greatest world champion of all time. I'll wrestle my good buddy, Ric Flair. Then it turns to Flair. Flair's shocked. Triple H turns to Flair and kind of gives him like the, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, follow my lead.
Right, it's okay. So he goes, and Austin, since you gave me the authority, that's the bottom line, because the game said so. And it's like, okay, cool. The stipulation that Austin gave him was cool, right? Former champion, that's who you have to go up against. But then we get, oh, I'm picking Ric Flair. That wasn't one of your options. Flair wasn't an option. Austin gave him four clear-cut options.
I thought those were just examples.
I thought those were the options. But you... Well, I guess that's a good, you know, good point to bring up, is that it could be, you know, if you thought that, then other people probably thought that, and maybe that's what they were intending, is that it was just examples, and then Triple H pulled a trick here. But yeah, okay. But from my viewpoint, I was thinking, oh, that's not even a choice. Why the fuck? But he's the game. He's cunning. He found his way around Stone Cold. So, whatever they intended, it worked. It's still interesting. I like it. I want to see it. I want to see Flair versus Triple H, and I can't see Flair just lying down for Triple H either. So that'll be interesting. And you know what we just witnessed, what we just went through. You know that sets up this entire episode, and this is going to be a jam-packed episode. A lot for me to cover, on this. This is going to be the bulk of this episode. Basically
a whole review of the Raw.
Yeah, it's most of the fucking episode of Raw. But it's one of the best episodes of Raw from this time period. For sure. And it's worth definitely going back to watch and see all this go down. Because some good stuff about to happen. All right, so let's move on now to Stone Cold and Eric Bischoff backstage. They're in the GM office. Take a listen to this, and we'll be right back.
Eric!
What?
Eric!
What?
Get up!
Steve, I'm dying here. Just...
You can't die. It's Monday Night Raw. We got a show to run, 50-50, you and me.
I can't. I just need some time.
Well, we ain't got time.
Oh, God!
Steve, come on.
You got...
You feel better now?
No.
I feel great.
I'm glad you
feel like a million bucks.
Oh, good for you. I just need some time. Just give me a little time.
We got time.
Look, man, hamburgers, hot dogs, jalapeno peppers. I can't do this redneck dad of yours, man. I can't.
I've been doing it for years. It's worked wonders for me. You know what?
What?
Got just a thing for you. You got hammered last night. Hair of the dog. That's what you need. A little bit of the animal.
I don't need no hair. I don't need no dogs.
Yeah. I think you do. I'm usually right. When it comes to instances like this, I'm always right. So basically, I think this is what you need. Here you go. What have you got? Mmm. Is that good? You all right? Eric?
Oh, no.
Oh,
more chunks.
I can't tell you a little bit. You're a good kid. I like you. Not very much, but I like you.
A hangover.
It's Stone Cold.
What?
What's this match?
What about the match? What don't you like? I understand where you're coming from. You ain't got to explain nothing to me. I saw what you did last night. You whooped ass. You beat Triple H's ass all over that building last night. I saw it. I said that I saw it. I put a stamp on you. I know what you're doing. You're making a damn statement. So don't get worried. As far as I'm concerned, right now you're the number one contender. Do you understand me? Number one contender. That's saying a lot. As far as your future goes, as far as I'm concerned, you, Kevin Nash, have the winner of the match between Triple H and Ric Flair.
God.
You like that?
Nash has got the winner. The winner between Flair and Triple H tonight.
Wait a minute.
All right, so we're backstage. We're in the co-GM office. Eric Bischoff is backstage. He's passed out in a chair. He's hungover. And Austin is calling his name. He's calling to wake him up. Wake up. Wake up. And Eric says, you know, he's dying. I'm dying. I can't work tonight. Austin grabs him and shakes him. You know, Bischoff wants some time. I can't do this redneck diet. I can't do this. So Austin tells Bischoff that he needs a little bit of the hair of the dog. Hair of the dog. Which means that, you know, if you're hungover, just drink more. And it'll cure your hangover. But it'll likely lead you to becoming drunk again. That's the problem with it. So anyway, he's like, oh, you need a hair of the dog. Drink some more. So Austin puts a beer in Bischoff's face. Bischoff gets sick to his stomach. Pukes all over his own portrait, so he spits on the smiling face Eric Bischoff portrait that's hanging on the wall. Austin calls Bischoff a good kid, walks out of the office. And then we see Stone Cold bump into Kevin Nash in the hallway. Nash is upset about Triple H's match tonight. So Austin says that, Nash, you know, you're still number one contender. Don't worry about, you know, Ric Flair versus Triple H. Whoever wins, they got you. So, you know, Austin tells him, don't worry about it. You're all set. You're the number one contender. Now from there, we get Ric Flair and Triple H backstage. And Ric Flair is kind of concerned with this whole scenario. And he's actually a little excited about it. But Triple H is going to kind of give him the bad news. So take a listen to this, and we'll be right back.
Minutes.
Hunter, hey. I just want to tell you, I'm overwhelmed. I mean, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened in my entire life. You had the entire roster. I mean, there's four or five great world champions there. But instead, you pick me. Just like we talked about, the best versus the best, man. I mean, right here on Raw, the main event. This is more than I ever could have asked for. I don't know how I would be able to thank you.
I think you're missing the point here. I've expressed to you how sore I am today, right? How beat up I am. Yeah. Nash kicked my ass last night all over that arena. I was lucky to walk out with the title, okay? I've told you how sore, how beat up I am. I chose you not because you're Ric Flair. I chose you because you're Ric Flair. I chose you to stick it up Austin's ass. Now, we'll go out there. You'll talk a little trash. I'll talk a little trash. Then you'll lay down. And I'll cover you. 1, 2, 3. Night off. We go home. Rick, don't worry about this, okay? Don't worry about it. Listen, you just lay there. I'll do the rest. All right?
Triple H has got it all figured out, King. Of course. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
all right, so Ric Flair, he's very thankful. He's overwhelmed. He's excited that Triple H chose him for a title match. You know, Ric Flair says, it's the best versus the best. And then Triple H has to give him the news. Triple H tells Ric Flair that he's missing the point. Tells him that, you know, he's hurt. He's hurt from last night against Kevin Nash at Judgment Day. And, you know, he chose Ric Flair not because he's Ric Flair, but because you're Ric Flair. I chose you to stick it up Austin's ass. You know, we'll go out there. You'll talk a little trash. I'll talk a little trash. Then you'll lay down. And I'll cover you. 1, 2, 3. It's a night off, and we'll go home. The crowd boos immediately. The South Carolina crowd boos. Because, you know, that's Flair country they're in. They want to see Flair wrestle. They want him to go for the title.
Yes, it's
they
home
want
base
him.
For him.
Right. They want him to get number 17. But Flair, you know, obviously is disappointed with the news. And that's how we leave that segment. Now we move on now to about 13 minutes later in the show, Austin's going to interrupt the highlight reel. So we have Christian, who is now the new Intercontinental Champion. He won the title during the Battle Royal the night before at Judgment Day. And he has a new haircut. He cut his hair short. And he has a whole new look.
It's like the Christian we know now.
Right. It's Christian from that point. He hasn't aged since 2003. He looks the same. And Jericho embraces him. Says, you know, I would have cheated too. So Jericho's giving him the approval. Like, they thought there were going to be some heat between it, but no, Jericho's fine with it. Yeah, you would have done what I did, and that's fine. So RVD comes out now, and he's going to challenge Christian for the title. And Jericho and Christian are going to attack RVD. Kane runs out to help. Kane is RVD's tag team partner, tag team champion partner at this point. But then Austin appears on a Titantron when this whole melee is going on. So Austin says that he knows that Christian cheated to win the IC title at the Battle Royal on Judgment Day. Austin says he can admire that, and he appreciates that because he did what it took to win the title. But you're going to have to defend it soon. So Austin has other plans for Christian. And he sees, you know, all right, we're not going to defend the title now, but he sees Kane, RVD, Jericho all in the ring. He says, hey, let's clear all that garbage out of the ring right now, which is the set of the highlight reel. And we're going to have a World Tag Team Championship match right now. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. So he forces them to have a tag team match. The titles remain on RVD and Kane. All right, so now we go backstage. We got Flair and HBK. So Flair's going to talk to Shawn Michaels. And Flair's getting some coffee. HBK comes up to Flair and says he's not here for a confrontation. HBK just wants to talk to Flair man to man. HBK tells Flair that he can't go out there and just lay down for Triple H. 15 years ago, you came out and told the world you were the measuring stick and a standard that every wrestler should aspire to. I don't know where 15 years comes from. What would that be?
1988.
Like, Ric Flair was.
Did he have that promo then or something? I just assumed he had some kind of history on that year.
Yeah, maybe he had a promo, but That's random. 1988, where he's been around already for years before that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
It's kind of random year.
There's no such promo.
Not like a famous promo. No.
Okay.
All right. And that would have been something he would have said all the time anyway. I'm the manager of the stick around here. I'm the champion. You want to fight me right now?
True. Definitely true. Yeah.
So HBK says that he's always been trying to reach that level, and he thinks he may have. But you're only as good as your last match. So Flair asks HBK if he really thinks he can go out there and have a match with Triple H. HBK says he believes it. But then he questions Flair, but do you still believe it? Flair gets all teary-eyed, and he turns around just as Michaels leaves. That was good shit, you know. Now we can see that, like, Flair's like, fuck it, I'm going to try my best tonight. I'm going for it. I'm not laying down to Triple H. Fuck it. So from there, we go now back to the GM office with Eric Bischoff and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Got a 2-minute clip here, so take a listen to that, and we'll be right back.
Bring it back. You got a copy? What's your 20? Get it and see me talk. Hold on, I got something else for you. A little bit better than that. Hold on.
Make you feel better.
Hey, what's up? We got a show to do.
Feel better? Hold on. Got one more. Hold on.
You know what? I'm gonna talk quieter so I don't upset your head.
Thank you.
You got a headache? You know the secret to a hangover?
I'm afraid to ask.
It's not the hair of the dog. That was kind of a little joke, okay? I'm gonna tell you.
What is it?
The truth?
The truth.
And you can trust me on this?
I need to trust you.
Female entertainment.
You're kidding me.
You need a woman. No. Let me go get one better than that. You need a couple women. And that's going to make you feel better. It's going to lift your spirits up, among other things. You know what I mean?
Not now.
Yeah, it's going to make, I promise you. You trust me, buddy. Hey, girls, come on in. Come on, girls. Come on in, girls. See you later, buddy.
Get the hell. What are you doing? Look, get your saggy, smelly asses out of here, wrinkled up. Get the hell out of my office! Get your hands off of me! Get out of my office! I don't want to hear you! I don't want to see you! I don't want to smell you! I just want to know you are gone! 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 Out of here! My God! Why is he torturing me?
Oh! Seeing Mullen, my young, made me throw up!
Alright, so Eric Bischoff is still hung over in the GM office at this point. He has his hands in his head. His head in his hands. Whatever. So he's trying to just overcome his hangover. And it shouldn't be lasting so long, JV. You've been hungover. I've been hungover.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
And he's a grown man.
Right, he's like, a grown man. Like,
we definitely know he's a partier, too. So nothing adds up here.
Right. It doesn't go 24 hours. If it was like 10 in the morning, then okay. But now it's nearly, it's 9 o'clock at night. At this point. And he's fucking still nursing his hangover. Come on. So it reminded me of a line from Breaking Bad. And it was Walter Jr. It's one of the first episodes. And Walter White, is contemplating getting the chemotherapy and whatnot. So Walter Jr., his son, tells him, "Stop being a pussy."
Yeah, that's iconic, that scene.
So that's what's going on with Eric Bischoff. Stop being a pussy, Eric Bischoff. What the fuck? Get over it. So anyway, Austin busts into the room with the megaphone. This is great. He busts in. "Hey there, Eric Bischoff! You got a copy?" He's got the megaphone. "What's your 20? What's your 20? I got something better for you. So Austin starts pounding a garbage lid with a big spoon. He's got like a big spoon from catering that he just grabbed. Hey, hey, wake up. Hey, hey, we got a show to do. Austin then puts the megaphone on the siren mode.
Guys have great chemistry.
Right in Eric's face. You go, why, hell yeah. So Austin tells Bischoff, what are you going to say?
How much of this you think's improv?
Oh, all of it. It's got to be all of it. It was like, the only thing that was written was, Austin goes in with a megaphone, makes noise. Then Austin took it from there. It had to be. It can't be scripted. So Austin puts the megaphone on siren mode, like I said, yells. Austin tells Bischoff, the real cure to a hangover is female entertainment. Hey, maybe. So Austin says that Eric needs a couple of women to make him feel better. And Eric's kind of like, okay, maybe that works. So Austin calls in a couple of ladies, a couple of girls to come in. And who do we got? We got the fabulous Moolah and Mae Young. They come strutting in, all horned up, ready to grope Eric Bischoff. And they're groping him. Eric notices he's kind of awakened from his stupor. He notices them. He freaks out. Oh, hell. Get the hell out. Get the hell out. Get your smelly, saggy asses out of here, you wrinkled up dinosaurs.
Mae Young's funny here, too, because she's like, Moolah's just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
But Mae Young's like kind of being all eliminated. She's off. She would have been perfect if she was younger for like this generation.
She makes the faces, too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Moolah's kind of like a statue. Fuck her.
Yeah.
Like, no expressions, but Moolah is smiling and loving it. It's great. So Eric continues on. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to smell you. You are gone. He pushes them out of the office. And then he says to himself, why is he torturing me? Good shit. It's like, it's goofy shit, but it's fun. You know,
it's fun. It's not embarrassing.
This should have been a sitcom. Stone Cold and Eric Bischoff. Oh, man. WWE Network. Get on it. Fucking. Let's get a sitcom. Eric Bischoff and Stone Cold living in a house. Just bring back the Legends house and have Stone Cold and Eric Bischoff living in
the house. Oh, remember Legends house? That was cool.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't brought that back.
Because it basically just enabled substance abuse by fucking older people.
That's true.
With a lot of pre-existing, fucked up conditions from wrestling for 40 years.
That's true. Yeah.
It's not healthy for the people on the show.
No. Yeah, that's true.
But I think that's the way with like 99% of fucking
reality
quote,
shows,
reality though. TV, yeah. Teen Mom, all that shit. I think that shit's all horrible.
Oh, yeah. All right, so now we go backstage. We got Ric Flair. He's getting hyped up for his match. He's looking in the mirror. He's dressed in his robe, looking as only Ric Flair can look.
All tanned up.
Yep. All tanned up and greased up. He's ready to go. He's talking. One more time. Right now. One more time. And he's slapping his arm. He's doing his thing. You know, slapping his arms. Woo! Woo! He's impressed with himself. He's got his confidence back because of HBK. He's ready to go. He's all hyped up. Now we go backstage to Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Stone Cold's going to enter the interrogation room. So now we're back to that storyline. He still needs to figure out who's trying to hit Goldberg. So he goes into his interrogation room, which is written on a cardboard box. Austin slams the door, which this is great. I love this. He slams the door. And then immediately, he slams his face into it's a glass window with blinds, and he slams his face against the window and opens up the blinds and looks out like, who's looking? Who's out there? Who's out there? Just, I love it. And it's great. So that is leading to the next segment, which we'll play a clip for. But before they go to that next scene, we get a poll, an online poll. WWE.com is doing this on Raw at this point. You know, so something will happen on the show, and then they'll have fans vote on shit. So in this case, they got to put their vote in who they think was trying to hit Goldberg. So they show the top 10 votes are going to Christian, Ric Flair, Triple H, Jericho, The Rock, Stone Cold, Eric Bischoff, and Teddy Long. Rodney Mack also, and Lance Storm. Lance Storm's kind of fucking random. Like, why the hell would he be in there?
Yeah, I know.
Of all the people. Oh, Lance Storm. Oh, yeah, he hit him.
Unless we missed something that right. He had, like, an interaction with Goldberg, but it couldn't have been of anything like... I mean, clearly, like, we wouldn't have seen it, but, like, that was important. Right. This might play out down the line somewhere.
Oh, that's the fucking outlier. So, anyway, The Rock has 29% of the vote. People probably just wanted The Rock to be back. Oh, yeah, let's vote The Rock. He's back. So, we got The Rock 29%. Christian at 18%. That's the logical choice, I think, because Christian and Goldberg had beef. That was a storyline that was ongoing. So, it should be him. Triple H had 14%. Stone Cold had 13%. That's interesting. That would have been interesting, too. Like, oh, it was Stone Cold that did it. But, you know, he's supposed to be a babyface there. But I bet the smarks were, like, trying to be smart, though. Like, oh, I bet it's Stone Cold. It's probably Stone Cold. So we're going to get Stone Cold Goldberg.
I would assume the poll had write-ins, right? Like, he wasn't on the list.
No, he was. Those were the options to choose from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
All those people, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. So they had to pick from those guys. So everybody else that was on the list.
They kind of got baited in.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Do you want to see Stone Cold Steve Austin come back?
Yeah. Right. That's probably what they're thinking, too. Like, oh, whatever we vote for, we're going to get. So everybody else on that list was around 4%.
Probably fake anyway. Probably not even real.
Yeah, they do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah. Remember when they had live voting and shit?
Like, yeah, like Taboo Tuesday and
that
shit. So everybody else had 4%. Ric Flair had 1%. So nobody thought it was Ric Flair, apparently. But Lance Storm had 4%. All right, now we're in the interrogation room. And this is about 3 minutes, so take a listen to this. And you're going to find out who it was. We'll be right back.
You ain't got nothing to say? The old cat got your tongue routine? You're pleading the fifth. I know all about you. More than you think. Where were you on June the 25th, 1989?
What's that got to do with him?
It ain't got nothing to do with anything. I just want to see if you're going to lie to me. You little seedy bastard. You tell me something. Was that your rental car that struck Bill Goldberg's car? Was it? Was it your rental car? Oh man, Lance, I got ways of making you talk. Look at me. Look at me. Does it look like I'm joking? Huh? Was that you driving the gun? Was that you driving the car? This is the last time I am going to ask you, were you driving the car?
Okay, but it was an accident. The accelerator stuck. It was out of control. I swerved. I tried to miss him. I'm from Canada. We drive on the other side of the road over there. I'm not used to that. The car was out of control, Steve. Wasn't my fault.
I've been to Canada. You don't drive on the other side of the road. You trying to call me stupid?
No, I wouldn't do that. It wasn't even my idea.
So then whose idea was it? Hot shot? Whose idea was it? No. Never mind whose idea it was. You get your carcass out of this chair. You go to that ring and you face Bill Goldberg and you think about what you did. You make me sick. Get in the ring. Get up!
Austin was good cop and bad cop.
Lance Storm and Goldberg. It was Storm.
All right, so we're in the dimly lit room. Stone Cold's there, and there's like a hanging lamp there, like it's a 1970s police drama. Like it's fucking Rockford Files or something. So Austin says, "So you're not going to talk to me, huh?" And he's off camera. We don't know who the subject is or the suspect. He says, "You ain't going to say nothing. The old cat got your tongue routine, huh? You're pleading the fifth." I'm making up the voice because I feel like this is, like I said, 1970s crime show or something. Or even like a 1930s. "Hey, you're pleading the fifth, huh? You're playing an old cat in the tongue routine, huh? I know all about you. More than you think." And then it cuts to the suspect. "And who is it?" "Oh, of course. It's Lance Storm." The random person on the pole.
Lance Storm. It's like, oh, that's why he was there.
Yeah, he was there because he was the fucking guy. Austin says, "Where were you on June 25th, 1989? Lance Storm looks at him and goes, "What's that going to do with anything?" And Austin responds, "It's nothing to do with anything. Just wanted to see if you're going to lie to me." Austin asks Lance if that was his rent-a-car that hit Goldberg's limo. Lance doesn't respond. Austin starts laughing like a crazy man. Oh, Lance. I got ways of making you talk. Look at me. Does it look like I'm joking?" Then Austin asks Lance again, "Was that you driving?" "I'm going to ask you one more time. Was that you driving the car?" Then Lance admits it. He was. And says, "It was an accident, though. You know, the accelerator was stuck." You know, Lance says, "In Canada, they drive on the other side of the road. He's not used to that. They're in a fucking parking lot, so it doesn't matter."
The most personality we've ever seen out of Lance Storm 2, by the way.
Right. It is. So Austin rebuts. He goes, "I've been in Canada. You don't drive on the other side of the road." "Trying to call me stupid?" Lance says, "It wasn't my idea." So Austin asks whose idea it was, but decides to not press the issue, and he tells Lance, "You have to go to the ring. You're going to face Bill Goldberg. You know, think about what you did. You make me sick. Get up. Get in the ring." And then Lola has a great line. He says, "Austin played good cop and bad cop." Which is funny because he goes from being nice and being crazy and back and forth. So he's playing both roles, good cop and bad cop. Good shit there. I like that. Now we go on backstage, and Triple H is getting ready for his match. The Nature Boy. Triple H is backstage. As I said, he's getting his ribs taped up. Triple H sits down. He begins reading Freddie Blassie's book. And Flair walks in, takes the book from Hunter, and he wants to talk to him. Tells him, 6 months ago, you came to me and said, whatever happened to Ric Flair? What happened to the man I grew up with? Well, I didn't have an answer. You looked at me and said, I want to see you back on your feet. I want to see you get back in the game. Rick, I want to say that I walked down the ring with Ric Flair. Not a has-been Ric Flair. So Flair continues and says, he knows that Triple H had a match like that and has, you know, he has a bad back from his match with Kevin Nash at Judgment Day. But Ric Flair puts it straight to Triple H and says, I had 1,000 matches like that. And I never said I can't wrestle. I want you tonight. You may be at your best. You may not be at your best, but you're still the game. You're the best wrestler alive today. And I want to see if I still got it. I'm not laying down for anyone, anytime, anywhere, especially in Greenville, South Carolina. Be at your best. Ric Flair is coming after Triple H. Woo! So Ric Flair is hyped up and he's letting Triple H know, dude, I fucking wrestled night after night hurt. Stop being a pussy. Stop being a pussy. As Walter Jr. would say. So, Flair's hyped up and this match is building. And that's what's great about this episode of Raw. It's such a big build up to it. And that's what I like with, you know, doing these episodes of Stone Cold as the GM is that we get to take a look at other wrestlers in these situations that Stone Cold created. That's what's fun about these. Now, we don't get Austin matches, but we got storylines that Austin is part of. Great. All right, so we go now to Lance Storm taking on Goldberg. So I'll give you some quick match results there. Lance Storm gets his ass kicked. That's what happens. He takes a jackhammer in 2 minutes, and bada bing, bada boom, he's done.
Yeah, that's all, folks.
That's it. He gets fucked up. Jericho does come out, though, and attacks Goldberg, and then Jericho tries to run away. And you know, so we got Goldberg-Jericho issues going on here. But Jericho does invite Goldberg to be on the highlight reel next week. So we'll hear about what happens there in a little bit. Now we get to the main event. It's the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match, Triple H versus Ric Flair. And Ric Flair and Triple H, they meet in the middle of the ring. After the entrances, Ric Flair extends his hand to shake it. Triple H does go to shake his hand, but Ric Flair does the old psych and pulls the hand back as if he's putting it through his hair, like, too cool for you, man. Psych. Then he hits the ropes and he starts strutting around. And I'm thinking, Ric Flair, man, you got way too much confidence. Like, calm down a little bit.
Yeah, relax.
Come on. So anyway, they have a good match and it's worth checking out. But we're going to go right to the finish here. Flair is in control at this point towards the end. And Flair's, you know, chop blocks Triple H's leg. He puts on the figure four leg lock right in the center of the ring. And Triple H is going to eventually make it to the rope after about a half a minute. And Flair attacks right away once he breaks the hold. So he goes right after Triple H. And Triple H is going to, from there, slow Flair down with a big right hand. And Triple H puts on a sleeper hold, but Flair backs Triple H into the corner. We have referee Nick Patrick, and he's poorly positioned, and he gets slammed into the corner. So now we got a ref bump, which is common finish setup, is the ref bump. So Triple H hits a knee to Flair's face. Triple H grabs the championship belt and attempts to hit Flair with it. And I'm thinking, geez, that's pretty dirty. I thought you guys were buddies. Like, you're really going to fucking nail him with the belt just because he wants to win the title from you? But anyway, Flair ducks, low blows Triple H. And JR has a good call. The world championship testicles just got slammed. So Flair nails Triple H with the big gold belt. It shouldn't be called the big gold belt. It should be called the Flair belt. Bottom line it right there. The Flair belt. Because it's his belt. Come on. So anyway, Flair pulls Nick Patrick over to make the count. Triple H kicks out on two. Flair struts around. I don't know why he's doing that at this point. He's trying to win the title, but he's strutting. And he goes for another figure four. Triple H kicks Flair off. Pushes him into the corner. Flair is now stunned. Triple H kicks Flair in the gut. Goes for a pedigree. Crowd boos big time during this because they were hoping for Flair to win the title here. Flair counters with a back body drop. Now the crowd goes nuts. So good shit. Flair attempts a pedigree on Triple H. Still with this bullshit of having to do somebody else's finisher. Why the fuck would Flair ever do the pedigree? Stupid. So anyway, Triple H hits a back body drop on Flair. Flair obviously is going to land on his side, as he always does. And Flair stumbles up. Triple H turns in. Locks him into the pedigree. Bam! He's down. Cover. 1, 2, 3. Triple H wins. Retains the World Heavyweight Championship. But Ric Flair proved to the crowd and himself that he could still go. You know, so I think this is going to give him his confidence back. And actually, he does mention this in the Ruthless Aggression series on the network, that this was the match that really got his confidence back. Like, all right, I can keep going. And then he goes on to have even more great matches over the next couple of years.
This is like the real, like the last act of his career.
Yeah. And what we've seen played out in these promos early on in this episode, that was like the truth, basically. Like, Ric Flair was really feeling like he was done. And
I mean,
Michaels,
yeah. How old is he at this point?
Fuck, we said it like last week. I think he's 54.
52 or something? Yeah.
In his 50s. Early 50s. Come on. Yeah. And he really did have these discussions with Triple H and HBK, and that's what they did tell him off camera, but they used that, you know, for these segments and put it on TV. So it's reality, you know, mixed in with the show here. So it's good shit. And, you know, like I said, there's more great matches, especially, you know, we're going to get Ric Flair versus HBK. You know, that great match when Flair retires. While even still good matches prior to that. So I love that. And now we go post-match, though. Kevin Nash is going to head out to the ring because he's still got his beef with Triple H. Triple H runs away with the belt once he sees Kevin Nash. Steve Austin's going to walk out. He goes to the top of the ramp. As a beaten Triple H is laying down there. And Stone Cold gets in Triple H's face and says, "Congratulations, you got Kevin Nash. Houston, Texas, June 15th. Bad Blood, Hell in a Cell." So, big match coming up at Bad Blood in June. Kevin Nash, Triple H rematch in the Hell in a Cell. Austin walks off, pegs off Triple H. Kevin Nash is rocking a Big Daddy Cool shirt. So, they're now using that with him. That's cool. I didn't realize that he did go by that again. As just Kevin Nash, Big Daddy Cool. You know, and Kevin Nash is excited about the news. He's got his title shot. And again, that was a hell of an episode of Raw. Raw 521, May 19th. I love those episodes that just play out and tell a nice story. And that's what we had there with Ric Flair and Triple H. Now JV is going to bring us to Memorial Day, May 26, 2003, Raw 522. JV, what do we got?
All right, thanks, Prue. So yeah, we're roar. I still can't say we're roar.
You need to get a sound clip of a fucking tiger, lion roaring. Just put it in. Here we are now for roar,
like a goth roar. That's what I think of. Raw,
like gore, raw. Gore.
Why is that? I've never realized how hard that word actually is for me. Holy shit,
raw, raw.
So yeah, number 522. May 26th, 2003, and it's fucking Memorial Day in Mobile, Alabama.
Greenbow, Alabama. Did you say Greenbow or Mobile?
No, he said Greenbow. I was doing a play on it.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's Greenbow. So, yeah, we're just going to kind of breeze through an opening segment recap here. So, HBK and Flair are having a love fest. And they actually agree to a match against each other tonight. So Triple H comes out with his shitty fucking locky hair, and he bitches out Ric Flair.
Looks like a beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible. It's like Beastmaster here. Remember Beastmaster movies? I love those movies. Yeah. I actually watched recently, the past couple of years, I watched like the first one.
No, know who Triple H is, actually? He's Viggo the Carpathian.
Yeah, he is. It's whose hair he's got. So Eric Bischoff comes out, and he's pissed off. He's pissed about being hungover last week thanks to Stone Cold. So now he's going to throw his weight around. So at what he's calling Eric Bischoff Presents Bad Blood, it will be HBK versus Ric Flair. He didn't want that match to be here tonight in this shitty city of Mobile, Alabama. So Eric also sets up the main event match, and that's Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels tonight versus Triple H.
Big match.
Yeah. Fucking fishy, but whatever.
Yeah, we'll see.
We got a audio clip for you here, and it's Stone Cold and Triple H. It's about 4 minutes. Give it a listen, and we'll be right back.
Uh-oh. The rattlesnake is here.
That Booker T is finally starting to come around. I like it. What do you want? What the hell happened to your face?
I was singing in the shower and I slept on a bar of soap.
You know, Steve, I've been meaning to talk to you. You know, with the exception of this whole, Hell in a Cell thing, I've been meaning to talk to you about the job you're doing
as co-GM. You've been doing a great job. I'm telling you, that's the thankless job. You know what I mean? It really is. It's a thankless job that nobody wants to do, but you've taken it on, and you have done an A1 job, my friend. Top notch. My hat's off to you.
Now, thank you. But the match is still on.
You know, that's a great shirt. These are your new ones, right? That is awesome. Stunner Inc. I love it. The whole logo thing with the Austin 316. Those are great shirts. I'm telling you what, those are going to sell like hotcakes. That's a great little shirt for you, man. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, man. Once again, I appreciate it. Thank you. But once again, the match is still on.
You know, Steve, have you been working out? Seriously, have you been training? Because you look jacked up. You're all buff. You're looking good. You look good, man. That's the best I've ever seen you look. It's tremendous. Great.
You think so?
Yeah.
Man, thank you. The match is still on.
You know something, Austin? You're a real piece of trash. You know that? You know what your problem is? You've wanted to be me your whole career. That's your problem. You wanted to be like Triple H, but you never could. So now you've got a little bit of power, so now you think you're gonna use it, huh? You think you're gonna turn my own people against me? You're gonna book me against Ric Flair? You think you're gonna put me in a Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood against Kevin Nash? And you think tonight, 2-on-1 Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, you think that's fair? You're gonna let Bischoff bully you into making that match? You think that's right, huh? Well, you can do anything you want, Austin. And you know what? I'm gonna come out on top. I'm gonna win because that's what I do. That's what I always do.
Triple H is trying to weasel out of this match.
I want to thank you once again for coming by. Thank you. The match is still on.
I guess the match is still on, JR. Ah!
All right, so Stone Cold is backstage. He's looking at the monitor. He's got a shiner on his left eye. He says, "What do you want?" Now, before I go any further, do you know the background on this fucking shiner? Because it's obviously something that happened either on SmackDown or off air.
Off air. Yeah, I have the background and I have the story brought up. So, yeah, I'll go over it right now.
All right, wait. Let me finish coverage and then we'll get into the blackout.
Okay. All right.
So he's got a shiner in his left eye. You know, he says to Triple H, "What do you want?" Well, actually, he doesn't say it to Triple H. He just says, "What do you want?" And when he actually says that, what you just heard, nobody's actually on the screen. So the camera actually pans to Triple H, and Triple H is just kind of like entering the scene. Triple H asks Austin what happened to his face. Austin says he was singing in the shower and slipped and fell on his face, and the crowd laughs. I thought that was funny.
Basically tell him, like, fuck off.
Reminds me of Godfather when they ask about how he got the scar on his face. Not the Godfather. Oh, Scarface. When he asks how he's got the scar on his face. He's like eating too much pineapple.
Yeah. What'd you get? Oh, well, actually, no.
They ask about his tattoos or something. Is this a gang? And then they ask about his scar on his face, right?
Right. He's like, "Where'd you get that scar from?" And he goes, "Where'd you get that scar from? Eating too much pineapple?"
Oh, that's the cop that says it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And that was the edited version, though. Because the original, like, the uncensored version is the DVD or whatever, you know, the real version. Because, "Where'd you get that scar from? Eating pussy?"
Yeah. That's right, but I see the unedited soft so much.
The unedited is always pineapple, which is great, which is even better.
Yeah.
That's what I love, is, like, the best movie to watch.
It was just, like, a racist undertone. Like, I don't know, I guess the Cubans have a lot of pineapples there. That's what I thought. But yeah, like, I've probably only seen the unedited version like twice.
Yeah, so many times.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you've seen the edited version so many times.
I've seen the edited version thousands of times.
My favorite edited movie that replaces the curse words is Major League. Oh, it's the best. No, maybe it's just because I watched it so many times and it just became like that was like the original version for me. And it was like so shitty too. Like you could tell he wasn't saying whatever it was, you know. But anyway, get back to your coverage.
All right, but have you ever heard of the movie The Perfect Weapon? It was a 90s action movie.
Is that what Seagal?
No. It's some like no-name karate guy that never panned out. I don't remember his name. But I think Bolo Yang's in it. He's one of like the villains. But anyhow, you got to watch. I watched that movie on video when it came out. Like we rented it. And it was vicious, like the fucking language and everything. It hasn't been on TV in years. But then it finally came to TV, like edited. And it was the best edited because it was so bad when they edit the swear words.
Yeah, that's the best. That's when it's so ridiculous. It becomes like a foreign film.
Yeah. So anyhow, back to the coverage here. So Triple H he's basically here to kiss Stone Cold's ass. So he's sucking up to Stone Cold, as you heard. He tells him he's been doing a great job. And, you know, he knows that this can be such a thankless role. Yada, yada, yada. Stone Cold stays Stone Cold. And he's just like, thank you. But the match is still on. So Triple H tries a little harder. Now he's leaning a little bit more into the kiss ass. And he compliments Austin's shirt, saying they're going to sell like hotcakes. And you can kind of tell at this point that Triple H is very desperate. So Austin says, thanks. But once again, the match is still on. But Triple H isn't done. So he starts to compliment Austin's physique, calling him jacked and buff and all that stuff. Austin acts like it's working. He's like looking at his freaking biceps and shit. He thanks Triple H, but then slowly states, the match is still on. So now Triple H has fucking had it. He's done kissing Austin ass. He fucking tries to show his true colors. He's verbally attacking Austin, saying, you know, basically accusing Austin of always wanting to be Triple H, you know, and is now turning his own people, meaning Triple H's own people, against him. Being, you know, HBK and Flair. So Austin is just, you know, kind of staring up into space, ignoring Triple H, which is probably annoying him even more because he's just acting unfazed.
Yeah.
So Triple H says, regardless of what Austin does, he's coming out on top. So Austin thanks Triple H again for coming by, and he pauses and then quickly says, the match is still on, which is funny. So Austin looks like he's ready to bust out laughing after he does that, and Triple H just kind of leaves very frustrated.
Yeah, good. Fuck Triple H.
Yeah. So, yeah, what's the deal with the black eye?
All right, so Stone Cold's in a new relationship after being with Deborah. He's with this woman, Tess Broussard, and he's having some problems at this point still. So, you know, we know he had his issues with Deborah, and he had court and all that. But the problems are still going on. He gets into a car accident. He actually totals a 2003 Porsche by slamming it into a building. And then, at this point, like, that happened before this incident. And then he told this girl he's dating, Tess, that he's going to stop drinking and driving, and, like, no shit. Stop drinking and driving. Like, that's a fucking, like, a thing you
that's
need
to do. That's not even something you should have to tell people.
I'm going to stop drinking and driving.
Yeah, that's when you know it's bad.
Come on.
You got to start telling people you stop doing it.
Right. You're right. You just say, I'm going to stop drinking? Maybe that?
Yeah, but to stop drinking and driving, like, you shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to stop killing people. Oh,
cool. Okay, great. So anyway, he says he's going to do that, but no, the drinking continues, the driving continues, because, you know, if the drinking continues, then he's just going to say, oh, fuck it, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And they go on a car ride, and he's drunk, and now he's driving a 2003 Chevy.
Flying.
He crashes into a tree with her, and he gets, you know, busted open, you know, bruises, black eye, his nose all fucked up. She's injured. She has a lot of issues too, injuries from this car accident too. She has permanent injuries to her foot, and she has to have screws put in from this accident. And she was in a wheelchair for 3 months after this.
This is bad.
Yeah. So the first accident was, you know, well, actually both of these accidents were settled in like hush-hush, like, you know, not put to court or anything like that. So that brings up like the whole, is she lying and bullshit? Like, because there's no real court records of this stuff. But, you know, the visible truth is there on this episode, and it matches up with the timeline. So he got into a car accident, and he's drunk driving twice within the year. So he had some fucking issues going on, as we know. And I think, you know, he's past that at this point. But, man, what a rough year he's having in 2003. But they put him back on TV, and here he is right away, like just the day later, because it was Memorial Day, you know, the weekend of Memorial Day where this happened, and then here it is on Monday. He's on TV fucking doing this. Like, should have been punished, but they let him keep going on. And he's only the GM. They could have had him off TV.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Bischoff could have been running the show. That's why it's co-GM. Like, but, yeah, whatever. You know, we said it from the beginning. We don't want to try to shit on his own life. We're trying to cover his
career.
His kayfabe career.
But it does affect his career, so kind of go hand in hand.
Right. So it things are starting to get shitty at this point for him. All right, so that's what happened. That's why he has the black eye. All right. Now what I hope, though, you know, reading this story and this coming out, it's like, ah, shit, don't tell me there's going to be a dark side of the ring about Stone Cold one day soon.
There probably will be, but you know what? He's owned up to it. He's owned up to it. I don't know. It's tough to judge these guys. Like, even, like, you know, the Flair shit and everything, it's like, dude, we're mostly just average Joes. Like, we're really fucking average people for the most part. And the people that are complaining are probably even less average. They're probably, like, below average in life. Like, they've probably failed a lot in life and shit. I don't know.
I don't mean it
like that.
Yeah. Like, comes off like an asshole, but yeah.
Like, what I'm trying to say is, put yourself in that position. So it's easy for me to say, like, oh, it's fucked up. He's like, dude, all right. If I was in the position where I was having sex with thousands of women, like he was a sex symbol. He made tons of money. He was a wrestler. Like, he lived his lifestyle.
Right. When he says, I had sex with 1,000 people, that sounds gross, but, like, they wanted to fuck him.
They wanted like, to. So you get to the point where if you're Ric Flair, you just think women want to fuck you. And I'm not defending what he did. It was wrong. But, absolutely. Like, people come with, like, stakes and shit and stuff. It's like, hold on, like. All right, you can condone it. Like, yes, say it was wrong. But when they start just, like, wanting to rip everything he's ever done, it's like, all right, mention some of the good things the guy's done in life. Like, yeah, he's fucked up. But he's been put in a lot of very tough situations. So it's easy for you to, like, throw shit, but put yourself in that, you know, have a little empathy. I don't know.
No, I agree.
Again, I'm not defending what he did, but it just baffles me when, like, average people just start to attack, like, these, like, very famous people on allegations for the most part. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, or you're a shitbag yourself.
Yeah, even worse.
Don't even fucking know.
No, random rant, like, but I'm not defending Ric Flair.
I know, no. It's not about that. Right, we know it's wrong. And the problem is more of just the...
So same thing. When it comes
to social media hunting.
Right, so when it comes to Stone Cold and they bring up stuff that happened a long time ago that wasn't hidden. It's not new information. It's not new things we're learning about him. A lot of it would be like stuff that was kind of commonly known, but it'll be new to some people.
Right,
but it's not. It's not like something he did yesterday. It's not recent, is what I'm saying.
Right, and you know, if he's been able to go on and have the career he's continued to have, then that means he's already dealt with these issues. And the people that are involved also dealt with them already.
Yeah, it's just like, hey,
you know. But when a show like Dark Side comes out, and I love the show, but it puts a spotlight on shit that some people don't know, and then, you know, these Johnny Come Latelys are like, oh, whoa, holy shit, I don't like this person anymore.
They want to cancel him now. He's already paid that penalty.
Right, it's already done with. Like, that's why it's being brought up now.
Now, if it's something new.
It's not fucking breaking news on the news. Yeah. It's on CNN and Fox News.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
It's fucking, it's like, it's a documentary. You can't get shocked by a documentary. Like, people in uproar when they see a documentary about fucking Nazis in World War II. Like, we already, like, it's history.
Yeah, we know they sucked.
We know what happened.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to the show.
Yeah. Definitely not defending what he did, but, like, no. You know, chill out a little bit, people. All right, so next audio clip we have here is Stone Cold and Eric Bischoff discussing the Bad Blood competition. So give that a listen, and we'll be right back to cover it.
So what do you think, Steve? You impressed? Do you like what you see tonight? Do you like what you heard? Eric Bischoff presents Bad Blood featuring the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, versus the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Pretty impressive, huh?
Yeah, pretty impressive. Yeah. I like the match. I'm fine with the match. Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, that's gold. But it ain't Eric Bischoff presents Bad Blood. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin, me, presents Bad Blood. You ain't got nothing to do with it.
No, I do. Remember, why? Co-GMs, that's how the deal is supposed to work. And as long as we're on the subject, let's talk about that. I've got production people telling me that Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to offer Bad Blood for absolutely free to anybody in the military with a current military ID. What the hell is that all about?
Did any of the production people tell you that your breath smells like crap?
No, they didn't. Well,
they should have, because it does. And if I want to do that, if I want to offer all the people from the military free admission to that event, that's exactly what I'll do. And that's exactly what I did. What are y'all bent out of shape about?
You know what?
You make me sick. You're so damn cheap.
You know what? You know what I'm bent out of shape about? Everything is a competition with you.
Right. Why not?
Why does it have to be that way? Why can't we work together? You want to compete with me? Let's compete as co-GMs.
What are you saying?
I'm saying I'll compete with you straight up.
All right. What you're saying is Stone Cold versus Eric Bischoff at Bad Blood. That's what you're saying.
That's not
Stone
what I'm
Cold saying. Steve Austin presents Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Eric Bischoff. That's what you're saying.
Did
at
not.
At Bad Blood.
Did not,
too.
Did not.
In so many words.
Did not.
That's
I'll
what
tell
you said.
It is not what
you
I said.
Say?
What I said
Stop
is I'll come
stuttering.
Up with something. I'll come up with something. We'll compete. We'll compete.
Okay, we'll compete, but you're going to come up with something. That's
let
what you're
me
telling me.
It. Yes.
You're going to shake my hand? All right, you're on.
All right.
Stone Cold, Eric Bischoff, something at Bad Blood.
It'll be good.
But you know what? Tonight, right now, it's Memorial Day. Okay, do you know what that means?
Yes.
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm absolutely
I don't think
positive.
You do. Well, I'm going to go out there to that ring, and I'm going to toast a beer to the men and women of the armed forces that paid the supreme price for our freedom. Lillian is going to sing America the Beautiful, and I'm going to have a good time. And you sit here and think about whatever you want to do.
All right, I will.
All right, see ya.
Austin's on his way!
All right, so Stone Cold Steve Austin, Eric Bischoff, they're in the office. Bischoff is informing Stone Cold of the match at Bad Blood. So they start to argue over the phrasing of the announcement, from which I said earlier, Eric Bischoff mentioned it as Eric Bischoff presents Bad Blood. But
they
Austin
go back
wants,
and forth with it.
Yeah, and Austin wants his name out in front of it. So now Bischoff is mad, you know, that Austin also wants to give Bad Blood for free to all military members, as long as they show an idea, whatever the hell he said. Which
That's
I
fucking
think
cool.
is a fucking great idea. And veterans and military people should get, like, more benefits like that from, like, society. Especially, yeah. like, the entertainment side, because it's like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, if there's one thing that, like, freedom has kind of gives us is the fact that, like, you can really, for the most part, make a movie, do whatever you want, and there's, like, the government ain't going to come down and be like, hey, you can't do that, for the most part. And, like, a lot of countries don't have that freedom. I don't know.
Yeah, if you serve your country, the least you can get is fucking free HBO Max and Amazon Prime.
Yeah, like, hook them,
come on.
Hook them up.
Hook them up. Give them some entertainment. They work.
They'll
done.
Get enough. Yeah. Like, I get it. They sacrifice people. Like, well, they did their time. They knew what they were signing up for. It's like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
That's a whole nother rant, but take care of
yeah.
them. Yeah, take care of them.
Yes.
So Austin says that, you know, says, yeah, that's exactly what he's going to do. So Austin says Bischoff makes him sick that he's so damn cheap. So Bischoff now asks Austin, you know, tells him, you know, hey, let's compete. Let's compete as co-GMs at Bad Blood. So, now Austin takes this as, all right, yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin presents Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Eric Bischoff at Bad Blood. So, obviously, it's not a match. It's just like they'll go.
Some competition. We don't know what it is.
Yeah, we don't. It's to come. So Bischoff says he'll come up with something, but, you know, but it's something, you know, he wants to do or something like that. So they shake on it, and surprisingly, like, Austin gives him a hard handshake, like a firm handshake, but surprisingly, no stunner. Because usually a handshake is followed by Stone Cold Stunner historically, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, kick stunner.
But now he knows, like, I'm going to have you at some point soon, so I don't need to do it now. I got you at Bad Blood.
Yep. So Stone Cold Steve Austin now reminds him that, hey, it's Memorial Day. And he's going out there. And he's going to toast a beer to freedom. And Bischoff can sit there and think about what Bischoff wants to do at Bad Blood in this competition. So from there, we come to a, you know, pretty much segue right into this moment with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it's a few parts. So first part here is Lillian Garcia and La Resistance. So basically, we cut back to the ring, and it's Jerry Lawler on the microphone. He asked the crowd to stand so that Lillian Garcia can sing America the Beautiful. And I know that's your favorite, isn't it, Brew?
Yes, I love America the Beautiful. It should be the national anthem.
So Lillian does a fantastic job. You know, she starts singing. She's doing a great job. And meanwhile, the camera, you know, they're soaking in all the production. They're panning to the service members in the crowd. It looked like the Navy. They're saluting some sailors out there. And then while she's singing, though, about halfway through, she's interrupted by La Resistance's theme. And they come down all smug and shit, waving the French flag.
I love them. They're fucking good.
JR calls them beret-wearing punks.
I guess you don't like them.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, they were all right.
Yeah, well, no, they didn't get pushed or anything, but I think...
Yeah, that's why I was just kind of like, boo by. I'm like, up, these guys end up nothing.
Yeah.
But I guess to look at them without having a history, I would agree with you. I would have thought that probably they had a better future than they did in the WWE.
Yeah.
So one of the members, because I don't know the fucking difference, says they are sick of this patriotism. The crowd goes nuts. They start a USA chant. La Resistance says all they see is fat and ugly Americans. Now, member number two, which is the guy that wasn't talking, who's talking now.
That's funny. I don't know the names. Member number two. Sylvain Grenier, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah. He starts talking in French. And then, but basically in English, he's saying that they're celebrating. Yeah, but we're celebrating all the times that the USA has stuck our nose in other people's business and that they could learn a lot. Meaning us, the Americans, from civilized people like the French, who are peaceful people, where they don't fancy themselves as the police force of the world. So Austin's music hits, and he makes his way down to the ring, and he is fucking pissed.
Peaceful
people.
We got
the audio for that.
When during their revolution, they cut heads off.
Yeah.
With the guillotine. Anyway.
Every country's got some skeletons in their closet.
Yeah. Oh, this is the time of the Freedom Fries, too, right?
Yeah, that was a terrible idea. Yeah, no one fucking called them that. No. You know what, though? Imagine if there was Facebook back then.
Oh, my God. Imagine how fucking crazy things would have been.
I don't care about anything else.
There would have been French people like me out in the streets being pissed off about Freedom Fries.
I just would have loved to
have heard. My French heritage!
Yeah. The sunglass wearing, trucker hat wearing. Sitting in their car like that meme, and it would just be like, you know, I'm going to McDonald's, and in all caps, getting my freedom fries.
Freedom fries, man.
I would love to see that on social media, just to laugh. Like, look at these morons.
We're going to have, like, retro Twitter.
Yeah, that's a skit or something you could think of, just like old things if they were on the internet today.
Oh, man.
Oh, that'd be one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom fries. It'd be political, too.
And we should have been
one party would be like, you know, the other they want to call them French fries. We call them freedom fries here in fucking.
That would be a great like SNL skit. Fucking
yeah.
Remember when we used to try to fancy ourselves and be like, oh, we're going to be like stand up writers.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, we didn't do that.
I don't have the attention span or commitment to do something like that. I've tried. I get ADD and I just start something else. So yeah, Did we stop for the fucking audio on this? No, we just started ranting. All right, so yeah. Wait 10 seconds and we'll kick the audio off. It's about 6 minutes.
Here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. And let me tell you, he may be America's favorite beer drinker, but that Texas rattlesnake, he is red, white, and blue to the core, King. Yeah. American red, white,
hey,
and blue.
Look at that, look at that.
They went. Oh, the starter. The starter on Dupree. The Braves make good frisbees. Well, it didn't take very long for Stone Cold to get rid of that old beret wearing punks. Wow.
Look at music.
Uh-oh.
Hey, before you leave. Hey, before you leave. Polly Boo Fresh, say that, you son of a bitch. Now that I got all the trash out of the ring, let's talk about what Memorial Day really means. It's to honor the brave men and women who have fought and died for our great country. The people allow me the freedom to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, to come to this job and do what I love to do, to come to the Redneck Riviera and drink a beer, two beers, three beers, four beers, five beers, six beers, seven beers, eight beers, nine beers, 10 beers, 11 beers, 12 beers, 13 beers, 13. I'm drunk.
He's drunk just talking about it.
But before we do all that, before we get to the beer drinking, Lillian, I would appreciate it if this cameraman would get his ass out of the way. Thank you very much for your cooperation. Put the camera on me.
Oh.
Thank you very much, Lillian, if you would come back to the ring. I got a little surprise for you. Now, I'll be the first to admit I can't sing worth a damn.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
But I'd like to do a little duet with Lillian here.
Oh, no.
A little song called America the Beautiful. If you guys want to sing along with me, I sure would appreciate it.
What do you think they're going to be the next Sonny and Cher?
Are you ready for this? I don't know if the world's ready for it, but let's wing one.
Oh, no.
Please join in. I need all the damn help I can get. Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray.
Come on, sing, JR.
For purple mountain majesties,
above the fruited plain.
Oh, no. Oh, give me a beer. I don't even drink.
America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
And I told you that I can't sing worth a damn, but give yourselves a round of applause.
Well, he's an honest man.
For helping me out. And you did stop singing once or twice. He's trying to play a joke on me, weren't you? Nonetheless, I got some beer to drink, so toss me a couple of cold ones.
Uh-oh. Well, Austin may not be able to sing, but he can drink good old cold beer with the best of them. He's red, white, and blue, all right? Red neck, white socks, and blue ribbon beer. Oh, no, wait, that's Miller Lite, I think.
Yeah, good old Miller Lite, King. A little better than cold Miller Lite.
Oh, there you go. A toast, and look at Lillian. Lillian kicking back the sides.
What the?
Hell, girl.
Woo!
I'll see you tonight, Lillian. It's almost like that first beer bash we had way up in Halifax.
Well, I'll tell you, we need to have another one of those here in good old Mobile, Alabama.
Man, what a night. What a great night to be an American. What a great night to be in Alabama.
Oh, yeah. It's a great night to be in the ring with Lillian. She's tipsy.
That Texas rattlesnake, look at that. Austin is having a great time tonight. And so are these Raw fans here in Mobile, Alabama, on what will, no doubt, folks, end up being a historic night.
All right, and we're back. And I basically just told you to wait 10 seconds, even though you just listened to a 6-minute video, because 10 seconds is the only amount of time me and Prue had to wait before we started covering this.
No, you did say 6 minutes. You did.
Oh, I did. Oh, I thought I said 10 seconds. All right, so Austin, he's here. He wastes no time, and he attacks them both, ending with a stunner on Dupree. And I forget if he was number one or number two in my last segment.
Yeah, he's number one. Dupree's number one. Rene okay. Dupree. Yeah.
He's so, one. A defeated La Resistance leaves up the ramp. Austin music plays. And now Austin, you know, he's serious. He tells him to cut the music. He has a mic. And he tells La Resistance, hey, before you parlez-vous français, before you leave, parlez-vous français this, you son of a bitch. And he flips them two birds. Then Austin goes on to define what Memorial Day is, which you just heard. He then does his beer drinking schnick here, you know, and he does it up to 12, but he's like, I'm a beer's mona, why, or whatever the fuck he did. And
I was just in a fucking car accident, give me some more beers, baby.
Fucking DUI, give me more alcohol, woo!
I'm drunk, give me more!
Yeah, give me more. And everyone's like,
I'm not driving tonight.
Yeah, stick with this idea, it's good, it's definitely, this character's definitely not affected, you're definitely not losing this character.
Man.
And then he falls back to the mat, and he says, I'm drunk, which is funny stuff, but also, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
In hindsight, like, someone should have helped him here.
Hopefully he has, like, near beer.
That's where it's good to have friends, because it's like, hey, dude, hey, Steve Williams, you're taking your Stone Cold Steve Austin gimmick, you're living it. Like, you got to relax it a little.
Yeah, I don't think you had many friends, so.
Yeah.
Except it's JR.
It's lonely at the top.
Yep.
So Austin turns his attention now to Lillian, and he asks her to return to the ring, and she happily joins Austin. Austin says he has a surprise for her, and he admits he can't sing worth a damn, but he wants to sing a duet with Lillian of the America of America the Beautiful. And he's also, sorry, I'll try to edit that.
You'll try to edit that.
And he asks,
all right, guys, it's there, I bet.
Yeah, it's Coors Light. And he asked the crowd to sing along. So Austin says he doesn't know if the world is ready for this. And again, asks the crowd, like, he's pretty adamant, like trying to get the crowd to sing along because he's going to need all the help he can get. And the crowd does disappoint, as you heard. So Austin starts off, and he definitely doesn't have a singing voice, but it's good enough. It's serviceable. He does a decent job with the high note, as you heard. And you can tell he's getting tired, and he's kind of out of wind. Like, you don't realize how tiring singing is until you, like, try to sing. You ever do karaoke?
Oh, yeah. No shit.
Yeah. You do, like, halfway through the first song, and it's like, whoa, I don't know how to sing because I'm just yelling.
Right. And you're trying to keep up with it. Like, yeah.
Yelling with just, like, a little bit of different sound to it.
Yeah, just going back and forth. Oh, man.
So he's getting tired, and Lillian starts to sing a little louder to help out. Now, the crowd really isn't singing. And my theory is most of them probably didn't know the fucking lyrics.
They didn't watch enough WrestleMania 2 with Ray Charles singing America the Beautiful.
That's why I think I know it.
The fuck?
So they finish the song, and they have a laugh in the ring. Stone Cold tells the crowd to give themselves a round of applause, even though, in my opinion, they don't deserve it. Austin calls out Lillian for not singing at some points. And, you know, just to play a joke on Austin, which she seemed like she was. So Austin then asks for some cold beer. He's tossed 4 beers. He hands 2 to Lillian. And he has 2 himself. And they have a drink.
Hey, I'm going to say right now, Lillian is the cutest she's ever looked in this segment.
Yeah, she's so innocent.
She looks like a fun time to me.
And you know what? Back in 2003, I was like, fuck these Miller Lite cans. I want the old cans back. But now that we've had the old cans,
I want those blue ones back.
I want those blue ones back.
Yeah, bring the blue babies back.
Yeah, bring them back. They should have, like, the fucking 20-year anniversary. We'll get them in 2 years. I'm looking forward to that.
They'll come back. Miller Lite. Oh, all we got to do is go on Twitter and fucking put it out there.
Yeah.
Bring these cans back.
Yeah.
And we'll put, like, an Austin thing drinking the beers and get their attention.
Get Austin some money.
You guys can do that, too. And tag us, too. Bottom line, tag us. At Bottom Line
Guest. Give us credit.
Yeah. Tweet Miller Lite. Put the blue cans on there at Bottom Line Guest. And Stone Cold, too.
Yeah. So Lillian's drinking her beer, but she's kind of wearing most of it. She's almost like hesitantly drinking it or like doesn't know how to chug a beer.
Yeah, she's afraid she's going to get fired.
Yeah, and she's wearing like all of the beer. So Austin now takes it upon himself to just take a beer and starts pouring it down her mouth. So he has it like high over her mouth as she's like drinking herself and he's pouring some in too. It was kind of funny. And right there, she kind of breaks character a little bit.
Yeah.
Actually a lot. Because she lightens up a lot and she, you know, she's laughing, having a good time. She's having a blast out there.
Yeah. It's fun.
So that segment ends and we see Flair warming up for his match and a masked man is watching him. So that's key because that masked man is obviously going to play out at some point here.
Yeah, fucking lame, too.
So we cut backstage, and we got a segment here of Triple H and Flair arguing. So Flair is getting ready in his dressing room. He's putting his robe on. Triple H creeps up behind him, turns him around, and says, "You've changed." Now Ric Flair gets hot. He says, "He hasn't changed. I'm still that... should I do the Ric Flair?
Yeah, do it. Yes.
I'm still the Ric Flair. Kiss stealing. That's Rusty Rhodes.
That's Dusty.
I give up.
No, do it. Go back. Go back to Flair.
I'm doing it as Dusty Rhodes. I'm still there. Limo riding. Kiss stealing. Willing. Son of a gun. I've always been. I'm not an old man. Some piece of crap you picked off the street. I'm the nature boy, Ric Flair.
Dusty Rhodes, if you will.
You know, we all get old, but only so few of us get great. Jump on, old man, tonight. Jump on. Jump on. Woo.
Jump and walks on. Away. Jump on. Just, I love that line. Jump on. Especially coming from Ric Flair. Like, jump on this cock, basically. It's like, yeah. Hey, lady, jump on. Come on. You want to jump on? Woo.
We're around this plane.
I love how your Ric Flair always turns into dust.
It's so bad. So, as Flair
hot
is
times.
Out of the scene.
Hot times, baby.
So, as Flair is out of the scene, Triple H says, "Okay, old man, I'm going to give you something to cry about." So, now we're going to get into a quick recap here, and it's of the highlight reel with Chris Jericho, and he has a special guest, Bill Goldberg. So, Jericho's set appears to have an upgrade here. He's got, like, more shit and stuff, and you can tell they really want to put that over because they even got Lawler and JR mentioning it on commentary. And Jericho first kicks off the segment saying this is the hottest place to be. And next week, he'll be live with the most electrifying man in entertainment, The Rock, which shockingly does not get a huge crowd reaction.
Yeah, that was weird, huh?
So Jericho says his antics trying to get Goldberg taken out was to send the message that nobody wants him in the WWE, especially Jericho. So Jericho now he goes into his history with Goldberg. You know, back when they were friends in WCW, when he tried to take Goldberg under his wing, but Goldberg's ego was just too big and he became a jerk. Jericho says that, you know, basically says that he was jealous of Goldberg's rise to the ranks so fast, since in his opinion, he was overall better. Ring work, promo, etc. And you know what? Jericho wasn't fucking wrong.
Yeah.
So he recalls the life events where Jericho was denied a chance to wrestle Goldberg because he wasn't big enough, which we all know was actually like a true event. That was a real thing. Well, he does get his chance to wrestle him, but it's a fucking shit payoff on like Nitro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible. So then he talks about how he decided to jump ship to WWF where he became the first undisputed champion. So Jericho gets right to the point now and he's challenging Goldberg to a match at Bad Blood. Immediately, Goldberg's music hits. He makes his way down to the ring, and Jericho kind of fucking bounces. He's out of the ring. Now, Goldberg's in the ring with a mic, which always sucks. He says some Goldberg things, basically like Jericho should come in the ring so he can put him out of his misery. And that's the most we're going to give Goldberg for coverage on a promo.
You're next.
First, he wants Jericho to accept his challenge. But first, Jericho wants Goldberg to accept his challenge. So Goldberg accepts and heads to the ring. Goldberg accepts, and then Jericho, he tries to head to the ring, but then, you know, instead decides to walk away. Jericho heads to the ring, and he's on the ring apron. And then he tries to leave now, but Goldberg grabs Jericho by the neck and tosses him into the ring over the top rope. But Jericho has pepper spray, and he pepper sprays Goldberg and starts talking shit to him when he's down, before hitting Goldberg with a fucking spear. So he hits the spear and then runs up the ramp and leave. Fuck Goldberg.
What a bitch move, though, by Jericho. A great heel move, but what a bitch move. I got a fucking pepper spray.
That's the bitchest of bitch, because that's what...
We don't have to go there. I use the word, so you figure it out.
So quick result here of a main event handicap match. Triple H versus Ric Flair and HBK. This is fucking stupid booking, in my opinion, but whatever. Halfway through the match, Flair sucker punches HBK. You know, wow. Bet nobody saw that coming. Shortly after, we cut backstage to Kevin Nash in the dressing room. And Kevin Nash is taken out by the masked man that I brought up earlier. He's taken out with a steel chair.
This is even shittier of a surprise.
So we cut back to the ring. And Flair and Triple H are beating up HBK. Triple H eventually pins HBK for the win. Nash makes his way to the ring now to be an equalizer. And he's in the ring and he's doing, you know, he's an equalizer. He's definitely fucking clearing house. But the masked man comes in and he nails Nash in the back of his knee with a steel chair, which Nash completely fucking no-sells. Almost like Nash did not want to put the guy in the mask over. Like, it's like he didn't even fucking hit him, dude. So then eventually, though, Triple H hits Nash with a massive head chair shot, and Nash goes down. So the masked man is up. He starts beating down on Nash and HBK with Flair and Triple H. So they're all, the masked man, Flair, and Triple H are now standing up in the middle of the ring, all three of them. And the masked man pulls the mask off to reveal himself to be Randy Orton. And he's back with Ric Flair and Triple H. And the heels finish the show strong on top.
Man. Randy Orton.
And that's it.
Who would have thought that Randy Orton would have made his way on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin? Here he is, Randy Orton, 2003. With his fucking... He's wearing his same fucking clothes that he always wears. His dress pants, his dress shirt. He's just got a fucking stupid winter mask on.
I mean, come on. Tell it's him.
You could have disguised him better. Change his fucking clothes.
Like, could be worse. Now all he does is walk around in his wrestling gear. He's like always dressed like nowadays in like 2021. Like back then, he like when he wasn't wrestling, he'd have like a shirt and tie on.
Right. Well, because of the evolution shit.
Yeah, but now all he does is walk around with his fucking wrestling gear on.
His underwear and a fucking vest.
He never has pants on. I'll have a t-shirt on with the pants.
It's like Stone Cold.
Jean shorts. He wore jorts.
Yeah. Yeah, what's Randy Orton's problem?
Always a fucking wrestler.
Trying to show off his package.
Fucking Applebee's. He's got a fucking...
And his fucking rattlesnake mustache.
Shirt on and tights.
All right, so that completes our coverage this week. It was only two episodes, but fucking, we made it worth your while here. So that's two episodes of May of 2003, and we're going to be back next week with episode 129 as JV's falling asleep.
Yeah.
Because it is late on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday night we're fucking recording a fucking wrestling podcast because we are old men. Okay.
Beer don't help. I've been drinking.
That's true. Oh. I've been sipping. All right, so next week is episode 129, and we're going to get to... Redneck Triathlon. It's going to be the competition. Eric Bischoff, Stone Cold, and the Triathlon at Bad Blood. So we'll be covering the first half of June of 2003. So that'll be next week. And we're going to take a quick little break. And we're going to have Alex and Travis from Talking Taker bring us into our break. So take a listen to them, and we'll be right back with the bottom line wrap up.
Dead Man Walking.
Hey, Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. This is Alex Dorio.
And this is Travis White.
And we are the co-hosts of the Talking Taker podcast. You have heard us advertised by Mike and JV on the show every single week. And now that we have come to the end of our encyclopedic exploration, digging up the dead man after 187 episodes, 3.5 years, we just want to send a big, big thank you to Mike and JV and to all of you guys for listening and supporting the show after all this time.
Yeah, we thank you guys so much. Thanks for the support from your, Mike and JV and all of their fans. And as always, take her easy.
Now get the gods, the drugs from my generation. I'll take the fall, the saints, and across the nation. And it's a sin. The gods, the fiends, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on, come on, come on. Let's get it out.
Move to the music.
All right, we're back now for the bottom line wrap up, and we're going to start first with our Oh Hell Yeah moment of the week.
Oh, yeah.
All right, JV, prior to the recording, we talked about this, and we were in agreement with Oh Hell Yeah moments and Oh Hell No moments, so I'm going to let you do it. Let everybody know what we agreed upon as the Oh Hell Yeah moment of the week.
So the Oh Hell Yeah moment was the segment with Stone Cold annoying a hungover Eric Bischoff on Mike's coverage of Raw, where Austin has the megaphone. And I love that shit.
I love it. Oh, hey, here we go.
And shit come into, so.
Yeah, that was fun. Good shit. Just, you know, and that kind of sums up, like, their connection with each other. Stone Cold and Eric Bischoff. Who would have thought, you know, that they would be such good partners? You know, love it. Good shit. All right, so from there, now we go on to our Oh Hell No moment of the week.
Oh Hell No!
All right, JV, what was our Oh Hell No moment of the week?
It was just the payoff, the match. Or lack thereof.
Yeah, the
main event that I covered with HBK and Ric Flair against Triple H.
Right, so it was apparent that Flair was gonna fucking be Triple H's lackey again. It was only a 1 week thing where Flair got the balls to be like, "All right, I'm gonna challenge you." And I don't know why people even bought that he would be babyface after that, because all it was just, "Yeah, I'm gonna prove that I'm a wrestler still." Not that I'm against Triple H. Like, it wasn't a babyface turn. It was just a match. And then it's, oh, no, he's back with him. And then, oh, shit, Randy Orton is wearing his fucking regular clothes that he wears every week, but he has a mask on, so we're not supposed to know who it is. And he's in the background like a fucking jerk-off, you know, with this fucking stupid mask on. So, like, yeah, all that sucks ass. Oh, hell no. And I'll just throw in another oh hell no. Stop drinking and driving, Austin. 2003. The fuck, two accidents like within months. Like, oh yeah, I just fucking crashed a Porsche. Let me go fucking crash this Chevy truck now too. Like, come on. That's oh hell no right there. So that's a little additional one. All right, so let's get to our podcast plugs. And, of course, we always start with our podcast brothers, Talking Taker, Alex Dorio, Travis White. You can follow them on Twitter, at Talking Taker. And they just released a new episode. I just listened to this new episode. It was a watch-along. It's episode 192. They did a watch-along for the In Your House Bad Blood Hell in a Cell. The first Hell in a Cell, Undertaker versus Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and the debut of Kane. Hell of a match. Great match that changed wrestling at that point, 1997, especially in WWF at that point. Great shit. You wouldn't have Mankind flying off to Hell in a Cell if it wasn't for this match. So good shit that they covered there. And like I said, I just listened, and they brought up, well, Alex brought up when he was plugging us on his show at the end, he brought up a funny comment from Jerry Lawler that we failed to mention, you know, a couple episodes back when Stone Cold has his beer bash with Goldberg. And Jerry Lawler was on commentary and said, oh, Stone Cold's in Canada, and he saw a sign that says, drink Canada dry, and I think you might actually do it. I can't believe I missed that. And it wasn't, you know, I looked back at my notes, I was like, fuck, I didn't even take notes on that. How did I miss that? But fucking great line. He said he was cracking up because we played the audio, and he heard it on the audio, and he was cracking up from it. So, so yeah, that was funny. But I felt like shit, we should have got that. But anyway, that was the episode where we're up too late and we're up way too late. Anyway, yeah, that was a hazy episode. So
sometimes we have those.
Yeah, at least some people enjoyed some of it.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, check out Talking Taker. They have a great episode this week, and they are releasing their episodes on a monthly basis at this point because they have covered the entire career of The Undertaker. So now you get these special monthly episodes. So definitely, if you haven't been on board with Talking Taker, subscribe, go into their archives, pay-per-view by pay-per-view of The Undertaker's career. It's a hell of a show. Love it. It's the best. Alex and Travis. All right, next. Book in the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast with Mike Mills, Hard Body Hopper, and Doc Turner. They are covering the NWA World Championship Wrestling Saturday Night Show, and they've been doing it since 1985, November of 1985, and they are now into May of 1990. And this week's episode covered May 5th of 1990. So check them out every Thursday on Book in the Territory. Also, check out Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. This week is a special end-of-the-season break episode, and they usually do a watch-along on their break, and this season is going to be Saturday Night Main Event, April of 1990. And this was right after the Ultimate Warrior won the championship at WrestleMania 6. This was one that I've watched many times. This is a fun episode. Saturday Night's Main Event, and they do it watch-along style. So check them out on their break episode, and next week they will kick off a new season with new opening segments, a new Royal Flush and Royal Rankings, and they'll continue with their reviews in the last part of their show. So again, check it out. It's Our Vantage Point. Also check out Peter Winston and Keith Linkson on Greetings from Allentown. This week's episode is episode 223, and they're covering, or Peter, in this case, is covering NWA Main Event from June 12th, 1988. And the big match is Arn Anderson versus Lex Luger. So check out Greetings from Allentown. Also check out JV and I on the Extreme ECW Livecast. And our newest episode that's coming soon is going to be covering March 28th and April 4th of 1995. Hardcore TV, and you know, it's a big show. It's Extreme Warfare, and it's part 2 and 3. Yeah, Extreme Warfare. So, big episode. This is one of the rare supercards that's not available on the network, and we're covering it on our Extreme ECW Livecast, which is only available on Book in the Territory's Patreon feed. So, you want to subscribe to Patreon, go to Book in the Territory, patreon.com/Book in the Territory, the $5 tier, and you can get these episodes of Extreme ECW Livecast. And we've been covering every Hardcore TV episode since the beginning, since 1993, and here we are now in April of 1995. So check us out over there, and follow us on Twitter at ExtremeCast. And if you go back in our archives here on the Bottom Line Cast, there's plenty of episodes to get a taste of the Extreme ECW Live Cast. So check us out. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening, as always. Hope you enjoyed this. We'll be back next week with episode 129, the Redneck Triathlon, covering June of 2003. JV, any final words? All right, we are out of here. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. So long.
And that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this is over with, so get the hell out of here.